All right, here we go. Welcome into another edition of the AFC West Mixtape. My name is Pete Sweeney. I'm the editor-in-chief of arrowheadpride.com, joined once again by Bill Williamson, covers the Raiders for Silver and Black Pride. We have Tim Lynch, Mile High Report, and of course, Michael Peterson of Bolts from the Blue. The division is beginning to take shape here as we've now crossed over into the second half of the season. We're actually coming off a week in which there were two in-division games. You had the Kansas City Chiefs defeating the Los Angeles Chargers 30-27 on Sunday Night Football. Right before that game, the Raiders were able to beat the Broncos 22-16 in overtime. Right now, you have the Chiefs three games ahead of the division at 8-2, followed by the Chargers at 5-5, and then the Raiders and Broncos are both 3-7. So in what we thought was going to be one of the best divisions of all time kind of has been a little bit more of the same, and actually a little bit worse altogether this year. So we're going to start here, and we do it every week. Every month that we do the AFC West mixtape. Let me correct myself. We do it every month where we try to describe our team situation in one word and explain where we're at. And Tim, we're going to start with you. In Broncos country, how is the pulse of Broncos country right now?
I think for the most part, we're just probably looking ahead to the off season. A lot of disappointment, just didn't work out. I think the big question now is who's gonna lead the team next year, and how well will they work with Russell Wilson and kind of try to get that whole train back on track. Because they did give him a big deal, and he's here for a while, and you know they need to bring somebody in that can actually produce some offense.
Yeah, we will talk a little bit more about that as the episode goes on. But when you hand Russell Wilson a 5-year contract, he's not the one getting fired. So you got to try to figure it out and how to work it out with him. And we'll see what the Broncos do as we go here. Bill, let's continue on with you. What's your one word to describe Raiders and where you guys are at and what you believe is the outlook as we get going here into the second half of the season?
Yeah, I struggle with this one because, you know, they came off a win, but they're still 3-7. The word is lackluster. And, you know, we're 10 weeks into this thing, and it just hasn't worked thus far. And, you know, there's been a huge disappointment. Josh McDaniels, you know, under fire, but he's gotten support from the owner, and that's been kind of odd. And some, you know, there was some finger pointing from Derek Carr and Davante Adams after the previous game. And, you know, but they came together and they won that game, and they gave themselves some hope. But, you know, this is all about a Super Bowl window when they traded for Adams and they signed Chandler Jones to, you know, a big money deal. Yeah. And they signed four of their core players. This is a window, and that window's still there, and that's the reality. So it's still very disappointing, you know, after a win, and they can make things better for themselves this year. But I mean, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I don't think they'll ever reach their full expectations from this season.
It's funny that the result of the game where it makes the Raiders 3-7 and the Broncos drop to 3-7 sort of differ in the answers. Obviously, you're sort of in the same boat, but it does seem like when you're able to get a win like that, especially in overtime, there is a little bit more hope there. I'm eager to see how the Raiders followed up against the Seahawks. We have seen odder things in the NFL than a 3-7 team somehow putting it together and rallying to make the playoffs. More on that in a little bit. Right. Let's go to Michael Peterson, Bolts from the Blue, coming off a tough loss against the Chiefs. Mike, where do you feel like you guys are at?
I think you gotta say hopeful. This team is getting healthier. Obviously, right before the Sunday night game against the Chiefs, Keenan Allen and Mike Williams happened to both return on the same night. Unfortunately, Williams' return was short-lived after his first catch, which was, you know, one of his patented 360 catches, toe tap on the sideline. He happened to re-aggravate his high ankle sprain, so we're not sure how long he will be out again. It was a non-serious injury, but aside from that, Keenan Allen was healthy the whole game. Yeah. Finished 5 of 94, made a spectacular catch to help keep the Chargers in this one on a 3rd and 18. It kept that whole thing dramatic. Joey Bosa still expected to return at some point this season. Unfortunately, on Monday, when Staley met with the media, he said there was no update on Bosa's timetable. And at this point, with there being no numbers thrown out there, you know, he's week to week, he's, you know, starting practice X weeks from now or whatever, it kind of tells me that there still is a small chance he may not return, honestly, until the very end of the year, if not the playoffs. Just kind of, we've all been around the NFL long enough, you know, that they either say he's coming back some point soon, or you just kind of know that it's going to be a lot longer than that. You know, defensively, still ravaged with injuries. Derwin James is still playing well. Khalil Mack still playing well. But at the end of the day, a lot of these things, you know, call them excuses, call them explanations, whatever you want to say. They seem to still be getting close to wins despite all of the injuries. And so that gives the fans hope, thinking that, like, no, this team should be able to compete week in, week out. But then they play a team that's definitely not the Chiefs, and the game still is kind of close. If not, they're almost getting beat worse than the Chiefs were able to do to them. So it's still up and down so far this season, but you got to be hopeful, because with seven games left, they are 5-5. They could go 4-3 down this stretch, mimic their 9-8 record from a year ago, and potentially have a small chance of making the playoffs. If they finish strong, go 5-2 and 10-7, I think that's much more of a chance to push yourself into the postseason. But again, you've got the Dolphins, you've got the Titans. Those are for sure probably two of the losses they'll face. But other than that, there's still a chance in the end.
Yeah, Michael, I always rely on you for a closer look at the Chargers. I'm not watching each and every game, but I noticed a couple things last game, and you know, they're a different team with Bosa. That's an obvious thing to say, and I think you are leaning into the idea, okay, there's no moral victories, but Keenan Allen finally looked healthy. I know that Mike Williams had to exit the game pretty quickly, so I think there are things to build on. I guess I want to throw it back to you for just one question, and this is just something I wonder about on the outside looking in, just because I think you might have a better grasp of this. Why do you think it is that the Chargers seem to play the Chiefs a little bit better than they do everyone else, even though they did end up losing this game?
You know, that is a tough one. Something you could throw out immediately is they do see them twice a year, so they obviously have a footing on these teams. Each new season that comes, the Chiefs haven't got they haven't differed too much in the past few seasons, other than Tyreek Hill not being there. But at the end of the day, as long as Mahomes is quarterbacking that team, they're going to be as good as they've ever been. They found a way in recent years to limit Mahomes. I think they've done a good chance through the air, not so much this past Sunday, but when they limit Mahomes, he's able to scramble on the ground and make plays with his legs, and that usually makes up for the lack of production in the passing game. But overall, you know, it could be mental. It could be schematically, obviously. I think there is a mental factor in these division games. I mean, and honestly, it's whoever plays whoever in this division. The Raiders, when they played the Chiefs earlier this season, it was a close game. When the Raiders and Broncos play, it's close. When the Chargers play either Raiders, Broncos, it's always close. I mean, there's so many things out there. At the end of the day, you'd rather see them be competitive and lose than be blown out by the Chiefs. But at the end of the day, they're tough, but can't seem to get over that hump at this point.
Yeah, it is wild. I think even the Chiefs will tend to play the Raiders and the Broncos a little bit closer. And I think you're onto something there, where they do see each other two times a year and they know each other very, very well. And so regardless of what the record is, those games are usually pretty good here in the AFC West. I think, and I'm not going to use more time, but I feel like I have three ways to describe how the Chiefs feel. When it comes to the division, I think there's a little bit of relief in the idea that there were that there was an arms race, and you know, a lot had to do with the quarterback too in Denver, and it had to do with Davante Adams going to Las Vegas. And I just think we all thought, and even in Kansas City, I think the fans would admit, they all thought the division would be a lot tougher than it's turned out to be, at least through these 11 weeks. I think fans are excited because the Buffalo Bills ended up losing what was a nice edge in beating the Chiefs and having that tiebreaker edge, and then losing it because of the outright record. Not to say that the Chiefs will necessarily run the table, but at least they have control over potentially getting the AFC conference. And you know, this is just reality. They're no doubt a little bit sheepish, because a lot of people were picking the other three teams in the division, I think, heading into the season, and it turned out to be you know, a disaster as far as the records go in Denver and Las Vegas, and then certainly with the injuries once again, as we see in LA. So that's kind of how we've described the division so far. And we'll go into our second part of this podcast. And myself and Michael, who represent the Chiefs and the Chargers, are going to take ourselves out of this, just because it feels like those two teams are in different places than what would be the Broncos and the Raiders. And I call this part of the podcast extreme optimism and extreme pessimism. And the optimism part is that even though the Raiders and the Broncos are 3-7 at this point, as I said, we have seen insane things in the NFL where teams can go and rally and somehow get themselves back into it. So this part we'll call extreme optimism. We're identifying 6-1 as a reasonable way for perhaps the Broncos and the Raiders to sneak into what would be a 7th or a 6th wild card. They would need to have that the rest of the way if we think that's the bare minimum for them to make the playoffs. So we'll go back to you, Tim, trying to imagine a best case scenario where the Broncos can go 6-1. How does it happen?
Well, I mean, so this team, all 10 games have been decided by a single score. And I saw a wild stat last week where if the Broncos had just scored 18 points in regulation, they'd be 9-1 right now. That's how good their defense is. It's just they just can't win close games. And So if I'm going to be extremely optimistic, the change from play calling from Nathaniel Hackett to Clint Kubiak did produce better results on the offense last week against the Raiders. I think they had a potential for 5 scoring drives, but Melvin Gordon fumbled again inside the 2, and then they had the blocked field goal. So they only scored 4 times, but compared to what we've seen from that offense all year long, 4 to 5 scoring drives is a massive improvement. So that's really where the optimism comes. If they keep progressing with Kubiak calling plays and the offense is actually starting to score points, the bar is pretty low with this defense. 18 points is not a high bar. And if they start winning games, that's really the only way they can get on a roll.
Tim, where is the frustration level with your readers and listeners just considering the defense has been so good and the offense had all this promise and just hasn't lived up to their end of the bargain?
They've wanted Hackett fired like since week 3. So, you know, I'm not one of those, you know, a first year head coach. You just got to ride it out. But yeah, the fan base is obviously frustrated that the defense is incredible. I can't believe how well they play every single game. I think their worst game was last week, and they still held it down until the very end.
All right, Bill, we'll move on to you. And again, we're looking at extreme optimism here. You mentioned they're coming off a big overtime win against the Broncos. What do you think has to happen for the Raiders to go 6-1?
Well, you know, they did this last year. They had a complete meltdown in the middle of the season for the second straight year. But, you know, under interim head coach Rich Bisaccia, who had a really special connection with that group last year, they won 4 games, their last 4 games. They had to win the last 4 games, and they won them all, and they were all tight, you know, including week 18 at home against the Chargers. You know, winner goes to playoffs overtime game. The Raiders went 4-0 in overtime last year. So they'll need to get that type of mojo going, you know, win the close games. The Raiders have been in 7-1 score games, and they're 1-6. Last week was their one win, of course. And what they did, and it's something that players have been preaching, is the lack of execution. Well, they executed in the final minute of regulation, and in overtime, they made some really big plays offensively. And that wasn't there in the 6 close losses. So that's going to have to change. And the defense is going to have to get much better. And the defense has played well against the Broncos. But we're just talking about the Broncos have the worst offense in the league. So the defense is really going to have to change its personality and its execution and become better for the Raiders to win 6 out of 7 games. I don't even know if that gets them there. You know, does 9-8 get them there? Maybe.
Right.
They're at least 3 games behind 8 teams in the conference right now. So, you know, I think if you're the Raiders, you have to think about trying to go 7-0.
Yeah.
And the schedule is getting tougher. In their first 10 opponents, they've played teams that are 42-48-2. And their final 7 opponents are 37-33. So it gets tougher. The Raiders' 3 wins are against the Broncos and the Texans, 2 teams that are combined 4-15-1. So again, execution on offense and a lot better on defense.
Very quickly, the Raiders' remaining schedule: Seahawks, Chargers, Rams, Patriots, Steelers, 49ers, and Chiefs. So if they are able to put together a few wins here, that last stretch is tough. Patriots, Steelers. Now the Steelers will have a little bit more experience with Kenny Pickett, so they're a little bit better later in the year. You would
night think, game in Pittsburgh, Christmas Eve.
Yeah, doing that at the beginning of the year as opposed to that, and then the 49ers and Chiefs are look both like Super Bowl contenders. So there's no doubt about it. It's going to be a tough road for Vegas to get back in this thing, just because they have to win pretty much every single week. And with that in mind, we'll go to the extreme pessimism part of this segment, and let's just say it doesn't happen for the Broncos and the Raiders this year. We'll go back to you, Tim. What position would you like to see the Broncos target most in the NFL draft if this doesn't work out?
I would have to say offensive line. The Broncos have been devastated by injuries all year long. I think one of our writers did a study on the injuries in the past couple of years, and the Broncos have been one of the most injured teams every year for the last half decade, and this year being the worst. So I think they were down to like third stringers on the tackle position at one point. A rookie sixth round draft pick was the center. It's just been brutal. And they've lost Billy Turner for the year, Garrett Bowles for the year. They've lost a lot of players. I can't even name them all right now, but offensive line has to be, you know, with that 49ers, the first round pick they got from the 49ers by trading Bradley Chubb to the Dolphins. That's got to be offensive line has got to be the target there.
Okay. So offensive line. Now I want to ask you a follow-up question as to if this doesn't go right for the Broncos, if they're not able to have this monumental turnaround, do you see them moving on from Hackett after just 1 year?
Absolutely. I think, you know, I've been covering this team for a dozen years, or almost 14 years now. And it's the worst start to a coaching career that I've ever seen. You know, he's just the organizational skills weren't there. The play calling was really suspect. And he held on to it for too long, maintained the status quo. And finally he's given it up, but I'm not sure if it was quite his decision. I mean, we'll never know, but you know, they play a lot of really good teams down the stretch. I think the wheels could really come off fast for this team. You know, they play the Ravens, the Chiefs twice, the Chargers again, and then, you know, the Cardinals and Rams aren't, you know, they're not good, but they could be good at times. So it's a bad situation. I don't see how he could turn it around. The only way he could avoid it is to do that 6-7 win run. Yeah. And that's a tall, tall order for this team right now.
That is Tim Lynch of Mile High Report. Tim, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for joining us here on the AFC West mixtape.
Thanks.
Bill, we'll go to you now for the extreme pessimism part of this thing. If it doesn't work out for the Raiders, what do you see them targeting in the NFL draft?
Well, you know, it could be one of several areas, because Josh McDaniels in a total backpedaling move, say, you know, this is all about the future, and kind of saying they need to do a lot of things. And that's not why he was hired. He took over a 10-win team, and again, they made all those moves. But if he truly feels that way, he can go, you know, any different direction, and particularly where they draft. If they draft number two and they have a chance to get Will Anderson from Alabama, you go do it, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe a quarterback. We could talk about that in a minute. But if I think you start the offensive line. This team is kind of reconstructed their line, and it still has some holes at multiple positions. So I think that's the first place you look. But again, I think with Dave Ziegler, the GM, and McDaniels, they, you know, anything is possible depending on where they draft.
Now, and I had mentioned this to you, and I think you probably would feel the same way. McDaniels feels a little bit safer than Hackett. Hackett feels like more of a disaster, and for several reasons. Whatever you want to talk about, the cash, whatever. Right. McDaniels, I think, is going to be here next year. What other possible changes could you see to this team as we go to turn this thing around?
Well, if this is a 6 or less win team, maybe even 7 wins or less, unless they make a real run at the playoffs, I think there's going to have to be some kind of change and, you know, some kind of scapegoat. And Mark Davis just blew the lid off the Raider Nation last week when he told the Las Vegas Review-Journal that not only is McDaniels safe, but he's doing a fantastic job. And Mark Davis was one bad Russell Wilson decision away from looking like a real – at 2-8, that yeah. fantastic job would have really came back at him after that Broncos loss, but it didn't. So yeah, there may have to be a scapegoat. There's already been reports that the Raiders may walk away from Derek Carr, and the way they restructured that, you know, they redid the contract is that they can walk away with only, I think, about $6 million in dead cap money this offseason. So that could be a possibility. Patrick Graham, who came over with Josh McDaniels, hasn't done a good job with as a defensive coordinator. Maybe he could be the scapegoat. But I think, again, unless the Raiders get really, really close to the playoffs, there will be some kind of major move.
Okay. Well, we will see if the Raiders can turn this thing around in Las Vegas. Bill, thank you for joining us. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
You too, guys. Take care.
All right, we're going to enter our final segment with just myself and Michael, because it does seem like the Chiefs and the Chargers have the only realistic opportunity to make the playoffs slash do something in the playoffs. And we'll go to you, Michael, here. And we look at the remainder of the schedule. You have the Chargers at 5-5. They got the Cardinals, the Raiders, the Dolphins, the Titans, the Rams, and then the Broncos. I know a lot of this has to do with injury, so it's a lot harder to predict how the team's going to do when you don't really know at what point you're going to be getting certain guys back. But if you had to predict it, how do you see the rest of the season going?
Yeah, so I'm gonna stay a little bit pessimistic as well. It's kind of what I've done the last few shows. We've done this just because it's been that kind of a year, right? Like the second you get your hopes up, there's another injury or two injuries, or they're both at the same position. I mean, like the hits kind of just have kept coming, even when against the Chiefs, Allen and Williams are back. Williams lasted one or two plays and then was out. Right. So it's kind of one of those things. Right now, my record prediction through the final seven games is 4-3. I think. Honestly, I think if you take a step back and you, before the season, you're like, hey, during 2022, all these players are going to get hurt. You're going to lose these guys for this long, these guys for this long. But what if I told you, even with those losses, they're still going to mimic a 9-8 record from a year ago? I think teams would be like, wow, that's actually kind of crazy. Like, I can't believe they stuck around and were able to still have a winning record after missing all pro, after Pro Bowler and what have you. So I think 4-3 is actually on the lower side. I think 5-2 upside through the final seven games is there. But I do have them at 4-3. That's probably what I'm going to stick with here. I have wins against the Cardinals and Raiders. They're 4-7, 3-7 respectively over the next 2 weeks. But then they have a really tough two-game stretch against the Dolphins and the Titans. And I just think with obviously with what the Dolphins do well against one of the NFL's worst scoring defenses, one of the worst defenses, actually it's by a long shot that when the Chargers face 3-11 plus teams, are converting at a rate just under 50%. And when you account for two penalties that have allowed opponents to convert on 3rd and 11 plus, they're dead on 50% teams convert on those downs. I mean, it's absolutely insane. So you take a Chiefs team with Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, they're probably going to have a good time against the Chargers. And then the Titans, it's Derrick Henry against one of the league's worst rushing defenses. I think in terms of yards per carry allowed, the Chargers are worst at 5.5. Also, I think that's going to be the worst number since the merger 1970, I believe, if that number sticks. So, I mean, all these reasons to not love those two games. So auto two losses there. For the other wins, I think they have to take advantage of the Rams and just like the poor position that they're in right now. It's the weirdest season after a Super Bowl victory we've ever seen. I believe they're 3-7. Yep. Broncos, same thing with them just being so lackluster in a season with high hopes. So there's my four wins: Arizona, Vegas, Rams, Broncos. And then on top of the Dolphins and Titans losses, I have them losing to the Colts as well. They're kind of snuck in there sneakily with Jonathan Taylor. Like, the team overall isn't doing well. But when you've got Jonathan Taylor as your running back, who seems to be coming back on after kind of a slow start to the season, I think that's a tough game as well. You're going to have to stop a guy who scored 20 touchdowns last year, who looks much more like himself right now. And the Colts kind of riding the ship, weirdly enough, with Jeff Saturday as their head coach. So 4-3 seems like the right call for, I guess, an expectation down this final stretch.
I think this is my question here, and I think it's sort of the most pertinent question. And I know the reports have been, it might take some time for Joey Bosa. Do you feel like Bosa and his timeline is the most direct impact to whether or not this team can sneak into a wild card?
I believe so. I think, you know, Mike Williams, the re-aggravation wasn't serious, so he might miss a week and come back, and I think everything will be fine there. But in terms of those guys who are out for the long term, Bosa is the real impact guy who realistically could come back and make said impact. Rashawn Slater, like early on, right after his injury, I think they said that, you know, depending on how well it goes, he might be able to sneak in for the final week into the playoffs if they do that. But Bosa being able to come back for those final, I don't know, maybe three games, I think would be absolutely huge. It'd be tough to see him miss, you know, a month plus after all the time that we've already seen without him. But him being able to come back and reestablish some form of a pass rush with the Chargers would be absolutely huge. Early on, Bosa was gone. Chris Rumpf Jr., who was their edge three, missed for a while. And they've been playing Kyle Van Noy, who's mainly been an off-ball linebacker, as their second edge rusher. And while he's he's always kind of been versatile to play that role enough, he did it with the Patriots and the Dolphins in his career, but he's not a full-time edge. He's more of a guy that sometimes you put him on the edge and he's a little bit better of a setting the edge for run stops and things like that. He doesn't have a full toolkit of pass rush techniques and counters at his disposal to rush the passer down and then down out on passing situations. So overall, yes, I just think right away it just upgrades from one of the worst pass rushing units in the NFL to a pretty good one if Bosa returns.
Yeah, I mean, watching the Chargers, you know, from my perspective, it really looked like a team. Like if they played like that every single game, I think they could tip the scale from what you're predicting 4-3 to 5-2. But it does seem like they just don't play the other teams as more difficult as they do the Kansas City Chiefs. So we'll see if one of those can swing the Chargers way and get them into the dance. I think 9-8, it'll be iffy. If they can get one more of those wins, I think it's going to be a good chance that they could at least get the 7 seed. And if Bosa, that's the thing, Mike. I mean, if Bosa is back and you sneak into the 7 seed, I don't think the Chargers are a team you'd want to play in the playoffs.
No, I don't think so, especially if the theme continues that if you're a better team facing the Chargers are going to give you every shot that you can possibly handle. And, you know, at this point, I think if I had to predict whether they do get a wild card spot, I honestly, in my gut, I just feel like they don't. I think with teams like the Bengals, the Patriots and the Jets all in better positioning as of right now, they're all a game ahead. The Chargers are not predicted to make a spot right now. I think their percentage is around 31%. I mean, you'd have to have probably two of those three teams ahead of them crumble a bit more down the stretch. But overall, I mean, the Jets are like, if they can figure out QB or even get serviceable quarterback play, they're probably making the playoffs over the Patriots. But then the Patriots, they're still Bill Belichick probably making it. Burrow is getting Ja'Marr Chase back after still being 6-4 after, you know, missing him for the last month. So it just doesn't seem likely right now unless, you know, some wild stuff happens in the next couple of weeks.
And I'll end here. And I didn't put this in the rundown, but I think it's worth a similar question that we had for Tim with Nathaniel Hackett.
Yep.
You're assuming that, okay, the Chargers won't make the playoffs. Is this the last stint for Brandon Staley? Will they have a new head coach next year, do you think?
I think, again, going with my gut, I say he is here next season.
Okay.
It just sounds weird to me. And I think I mentioned this on a previous episode, but if Staley were to be fired after the season, the Chargers don't make a playoffs, it's a huge frustrating bummer, whatever. It feels weird for Staley to go and Tom Telesco not to go with him. Tom Telesco, I think this is 10th or 11th year as the general manager for the Chargers. And would you allow that guy to hire his fourth head coach in a 10 and 11 year span? You have two playoff appearances to your name. You do have playoff victories in each of those years. But I mean, you know, a little over a decade, two playoff appearances, you're on your fourth head coach search. I mean, just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And honestly, at the end of the day, I think Tom Telesco's draft record is propped up by his first round picks that you could argue were pretty, you know, direct. He didn't have to like reach for, or he might have reached for one or two, Kenneth Murray, unfortunately. But I mean, Rashawn Slater, Justin Herbert, Derwin James, Joey Bosa. I mean, these were guys that you just kind of knew were picks that were going to be made and they were going to be good. And they were right there for him. I believe there's rarely any second day or third day contracts handed to those players drafted in rounds 2 through 7. It's really tough. There's no depth in his draft history. I think at the end of the day that props him up. And when it gets down to it, he hasn't done enough to make this team the way he wants. Injuries, you know, despite all that, they're just part of it. But I just think if Staley goes, I don't see how Tom Telesco stays.
He's Michael Peterson. You can find his fine work at Bulls from the Blue. The Chiefs and Chargers games are over this year, so we'll be watching from afar. So for now, Michael, we'll say happy Thanksgiving to you and thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much. Happy Thanksgiving.
And finally, we'll look at the Kansas City Chiefs schedule here. I mean, they play the Rams, the Bengals, the Broncos, the Texans, the Seahawks, the Broncos again, and the Raiders. I think my record here for the Chiefs, it has to be, and I'm reluctant to say this, but I think it has to be a running of the table, and I'm trying to be as fair as possible here. And I understand, and we had mentioned it all show, I think that when the Chiefs play the AFC West, you really have to throw the records out the window. Just because maybe the Broncos and the Raiders in those final two games are not going to be playing for anything doesn't necessarily mean that they're not going to play the Chiefs tough. And you know those fan bases are going to be lit up if the Chiefs are right in position. Let's say, you know, you're going into those final two games, the Chiefs are right in position to have an AFC bye and get to another Super Bowl. To me, I think that these teams are going to be gearing up to try to beat the Chiefs. And you've seen it all the time with teams that aren't going to make the postseason. They try to play spoiler. And what better way than an AFC West team who you're sick of to try to knock them off a peg and make their playoff run a little bit harder. Realistically, the Chiefs have the Rams next. They are 14.5 point favorites unless something unforeseen happens. We don't even know about Matt Stafford. I think they win in that game. Again, the other games, the Broncos, the Texans, the Seahawks, the Broncos, and the Raiders, giving the division respect. This is the AFC West mixtape. They'll be difficult games, but I think the Chiefs win all of those. I don't think the Seahawks are upsetting the Chiefs at home. I don't think the Texans are doing it. So it comes down to one game for me, and that's in 2 weeks at Bengals. If Ja'Marr Chase comes back and the Chiefs can find a way to beat the Cincinnati Bengals, then I don't think they're going to have a problem with the rest of the schedule. Again, I'm hesitant to say they're just going to go undefeated here, but if they're able to do that, and I just explained why it seems very realistic if they are able to beat the Bengals in their home building, which seems like the toughest opponent. And by the way, the really only true revenge game for Kansas City, if there's a game that carries any more weight than the other ones, sorry, Buffalo, and it matters a little bit more to you, but if there's any game that carries more weight, it's this game against the Bengals, where the Bengals beat them two times in about 4 weeks last year. We know the Bengals went to the Super Bowl. They've been a little bit worse. It has been close for them. If they are able to get Chase back, I think it should be a good game. But if the Chiefs can pull that one off, a game that should matter to them, maybe more than the others because of obvious reasons, then I think they probably finish 15-2, and they won't even have to worry about what teams like Buffalo or Tennessee or Baltimore do. They will hold on to the AFC bye. It's a shame, really, in my opinion, because I think the top two teams of the conference probably deserve it. It's really hard to even finish second in the conference. They changed it a few years ago to make that single bye more important, to make the conference winner more important. So it's a lot tougher to do, but we will see if Kansas City can pull it off. A big thing is health. They have had a couple health issues pop up with their running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Juju Smith-Schuster with a concussion, Juan Thornhill, who was a team leader for this team. We'll see their statuses. But as we go here, I'm pretty confident that the Chiefs will be able to pull that off, and then hopefully the AFC West is a little bit more competitive as we get into what would be the 2023 season. But once again, that's it for the AFC West mixtape. We do it each and every month. We try to update you on really this is to serve the other teams in the conference, get to the division, get for you to get to know about some of the details of how it's going with the other teams. I know this is probably much more fun right now for Kansas Cityans than it is elsewhere. But as we go here, we hope to continue to provide a good show, a look at the rest of the division. So thank you to Tim Lynch of Mile High Report. Thank you to Bill Williamson of Silver and Black Pride. Thank you to Michael Peterson of Bolts from the Blue. For all those guys, it's Steve Serta behind the glass. My name is Pete Sweeney. This has been another edition of the AFC West Mixtape.